sent over what the itinerary was, that's when I found out what I was doing to do the brochure for this year. And so I called him. Like so many of us, we have lengthy conversations, a joy to be able to get with fellow preachers and talk with them, and Brother Neiman is one of those. So I called him and I said, do remind you, remember our India trip was my first time going to a mission field? I'm not the expert on this. And he just kind of chuckled and said, well, you're going to do it anyway. I said, okay. But I do appreciate the opportunity to do that. Some might say I've been to two mission fields. When we were on deputation to come out here to the Northwest to church plant, our southern brethren thought I was going to a foreign country by moving 3,000 miles and coming up to this corner of the world. So maybe broadly speaking, I've been to two mission fields and still live in one, but joy to be able to talk about this. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. As I was praying and contemplating what the Lord would have me to bring and talking about mission opportunities, because there are others here that have been to several mission fields and could do a much better job at looking at that opportunity from that standpoint. But I would just want to share my heart with this passage and how it relates then to what the Lord did in bringing us to India that we went to a year ago this past January with Dr. Neiman and my wife, and share with you just the opportunity that we do have as preachers. I was talking to Brother Schaff earlier this morning, and we were talking. He's done what we did. He goes to Romania and teaches there, and we went to India and taught there. And was just encouraging one another in that idea and realizing that as pastors, we should desire to go to the mission field. We need to see what our missionaries are doing, not to check up on them necessarily, but to see the work. Understand the burdens that they are facing that are so different than our burdens. Ministry in India is not like ministry in Wenatchee, Washington. It's not like ministry at Galilee Baptist Church. It's not like church planting in Lake Stevens. It's completely different. And I have a much greater appreciation for what those brethren are doing now that I've been there. So I encourage you to have that opportunity to go when it opens. And something that I was thinking of as I was looking at this, I just thought I'd ask, how many have of us preachers have been to the mission field? We have visited a mission field. Okay, well, there's quite a few of us. That is a joy and a blessing to look forward to that. But Genesis chapter 24, want us to look at verse 27 and just a phrase there, familiar phrase to us, as we are listening to Abraham's servant as he has gone on an errand for his master. Verse 27 says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity that's ours. I pray that you would encourage and strengthen our hearts in thee as we consider the opportunities that you may present to us, Father, to be mindful of those open doors and then to go forward through those open doors wherever they may lead. Encourage our hearts to that end this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. I also have the opportunity to try to keep you awake this afternoon after that meal. I usually have my assistant pastor do that on our fifth Sundays, where we have a Sunday afternoon service right after the meal. He's got to keep us awake, not me. I said there's method in my madness for doing that, but turnabout's fair play, I guess. As we look at this, I want to zero in as I think about the opportunity that was presented, it reminds me of this servant as he's talking to Rebekah's family. I being in the way, the Lord led me. In 2010, those of us that live here in the Northwest may well remember Pastor Neiman putting out a request that books were going to be sent to India. He had a pastor's library, 27 books, some of his library, and needed the financial means to get them from here in the Northwest to India. And our church followed through with that. And we had some discretionary funds. We tried to keep some in our missions fund, our missions giving. And we voted to move forward with that and sent some money to Brother Neiman to see that that would be in place and go forward with that opportunity. And so, little knowing what was going to happen of that, that there would be an invitation come. And a new proverb, as I've talked to some people as we've discussed this, we have the proverb, a slow boat to China. It can be overtaken with a slow boat to India. William Carey got to India faster 200 years ago than those books did. Now go figure. But anyway, they made it there in December of 2010, and they left here in April, as I recall, somewhere along there. But it took a good long while. But as we consider this passage and we're in work through this, I want us to consider in these mission opportunities as divine opportunities. These are God's open doors for us. And we never know how they're going to open up. But in looking through this passage, our divine opportunities, like this servant, are prefaced in prayer. If you look back to verses 10 through 15, you have this servant going to God in prayer because he has an awesome responsibility placed upon him. Abraham has told him to go and get a wife for his son Isaac, a helpmeet, a help fit for Isaac. How many of us would have wanted somebody to go get our wife for us and said, this is the one? Now, that's a sobering thought. As we consider those divine opportunities, it is a sobering thought, and it must be prefaced in prayer. Growing up, I appreciate Brother Harding mentioning some of his background. We are both bus kids, and joy and rejoice with the privileges that God has given. You never know, as was touched on last night. You lead someone to the Lord, you don't know what God's going to do with that person. And I marvel that God would take a bus kid from eastern North Carolina and send him halfway across the country and then end up sending him halfway around the world to India. That's an amazing God that we serve. But that has been prefaced in prayer. As I look back in my own life in that regard, growing up in a very mission church in eastern North Carolina, Bill Wingard is a co-founder of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions. Missions is a heartbeat of that church. And I don't know how many hundreds of missionaries that I have met, seen, watched their slide presentations. Video, I don't know, I still call them slide presentations. I'm stuck in the old ages when I did slides, when I was on deputation, but video presentations, DVDs today. But missions has been kind of my lifeblood. It's there. To me, to have a church without missions just doesn't seem to be a church. And the Lord has blessed me along those ways that in other churches that I have been a part of, they have been very mission churches. And that has always been a prayer of mine. I told our people that there have been two trips that I would like to take. A mission trip and a trip to Israel. The Lord's opened the door for the one, and we keep praying for the other one, that may open up as well. But that opportunity was prefaced in prayer. It's been a long prayer. I've been saved 39 years come June. The Lord send me to the mission field for whatever reason. I was always open to that. If the Lord wanted to send us to a mission field, then I'd go. But it's prefaced in prayer. We don't know the opportunities that God's going to give to us, and we need to rely on He who does know. Because He is the one that knows our future, not us. And the older I get, the more I realize and understand and have a heartfelt reliance on God that I don't know. And the older I get, the more I don't know. And the more I understand God does. And He knows what's best for all of us. He knows the doors that He desires to open for us. And we need to be willing, and we are able, to then go through those doors. No matter what they may be or where they may take us. There was a lot of excitement when that invitation came from Dr. Day. In the early part of 2011, there was that excitement. And then as that year progressed, there's fear and trepidation. I'm leaving my country. I'm going somewhere I've never been before. This is a little unnerving. But who orchestrated it? Who brought it about? Our God did. So our divine opportunities are prefaced in prayer. We must be there praying and asking God. Whether it be to the foreign field, whether it be talking to our neighbors. Building those relationships that God would have us build, that we can see them come to know Christ. It is always prefaced in prayer. So I encourage us, as we've been encouraged some already, that we need prayer. It is our lifeline. It is our source of understanding of what God has for us. It's our understanding that we must rely on Him because He knows. Our divine opportunities are also prepared by God. In verses 15 through 25, you have this servant of Abraham on his journey, on that way that he has said, I being in the way, I'm in the journey. Where is he going? He knows not. I assumption on my part, but I don't think that this servant was with Abraham when he went through there many years prior on their way from Ur of the Chaldees to the land that God was going to show him. I don't think that servant is there with him. He's going where he knows not. But he knows who knows the way. Thus the prayer. You've got to show me the way. And as he's praying, we know that here comes Rebekah, and his prayer has been, okay, I'm here, now how do I figure out, how do I find out, how do I choose this wife? What's my criteria for figuring this out? And so he calls on the Lord, and he said, Lord, this is how, let's do this. Lord, here's a well. Can it be the woman that comes out to draw water, that she will draw water for me, but then she will also go above and beyond and draw for the camels? And before he's even done praying, God tells us, here comes Rebekah. And does exactly what he's just prayed. You need water? Okay. I've got the pitcher. We can give you water. I'll take care of your camels also. God's divine opportunities are prepared by God. God has already orchestrated. He knows what he's doing in this scenario. I mean, even before the servant leaves, God knows what he's going to do. And he's directing him on the way. We had no idea what was going to happen with providing the funds for those books. We had the ability to assist, to help. And rejoicing and glad to do that. And flabbergasted when that invitation came to come and visit India. And thought, really? I live in the middle of a state. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. You've got to want to go to Wenatchee in order to go to Wenatchee. We're not on the beaten path in by any sense of the imagination. If you take Highway 2, you can miss Wenatchee. You've got to turn off of it to get into Wenatchee. So you can miss it. You can't get to it on I-90. So to think that God would do that is, to me, it is amazing. It is humbling. And yet God uses his servants no matter who they are, where they are, what talents and time that they have. But the opportunities are then prepared by God. And he orchestrates this coming together and having this scenario fulfilled right in front of this servant's eyes. Whether I'm reading into it or not, I get this kind of bated breath on his part. He's hesitant to jump up for joy and shout and glory, hallelujah. This is the very first one at that. He didn't have to, okay, this one just gave me water. Okay. Oh, here comes another one. You need water? Yeah. Oh, that's not that one. You know, the Lord answers on the very first try. And he holds back in wanting to find out. Let's get more of this. You've answered this, Lord, but let's see how things progress here. God opens those doors and may we move forward. The servant doesn't stop and say, okay, time out, Lord. Let's talk about this more. You've done this, but I'm not sure yet. Now he moves forward with that. God, this is what I've prayed. You've answered this. Now, obviously, this is your leading. God opened that door to go. Our church rose up to the occasion. I'm a pastor of a small church. I don't have that kind of income to say, yeah, I can just toss out $3,000 and let's take a trip. The church moved forward. They gave. We've kind of chuckled, yeah, they want to get rid of their pastor for 3 weeks. But they gave. And they are willing to do it again. They want to get rid of me again. We had pastor's trip fund established, and it was given, and there was extra. And we said, okay, what do we do with the extra? They said, let's make it a trip fund for pastor. And so they can continue to give to get me out of there for however long. But those opportunities prepared by God to see him at work and see those things come together. The Lord supplies the funds and the Lord opens the doors for the trip to be made. Dr. Neiman leads us faithfully and well. If you ever have a chance to go with Brother Neiman, I would encourage you to do so. What a joy. I've worked under him, worked beside him, worked with him in that regard. I know he'll get after me afterwards for saying something, but what a joy to have someone that knows what to do. As I said, I've never been out of our country. I'm a sailor son that never went out of our country. I have lived in the four corners almost of our country. And definitely knew I needed somebody that knew what to do once we got on that airplane and landed in some place that didn't have an American flag flying over it. It's different. And going into the Middle East was even more interesting in that regard. Knew we weren't in Kansas or Washington anymore when we got off that plane in Abu Dhabi. But what a joy to be a part of that. Divine opportunities are also priceless gifts from God. Look back at 26 and 27 as the servant is speaking. He says, "And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute, who hath not left my master." Let me slow down here. "Who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Then down in verses 57 through 61. See, he's wrapping all this up. He is talking to Rebekah's brother, the parents, discussing all that has taken place, what he's gone through. They come to the end and it's time to go. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah and their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Those divine opportunities truly are priceless gifts from God. This servant is taking Rebekah back at her own volition. She agrees. They want them to stay around for a while. We're not going to see Rebekah, so we need to spend some. Now all of a sudden it's important. We've got to spend more time. Well, you've already spent all her life with her, but we want to spend more time with her. No, I need to go. We can't delay this any longer. And she willingly goes. What a priceless gift to see the sacrifice that Rebekah is doing, even at this point, to a man that she does not know, to a man she has never met, going with men she has never met, and yet she willingly goes. The gift that God gives of those divine opportunities are truly priceless. The memories that I have of India, yes, it was a busy schedule. Dr. Neiman was trying to work that we might team teach in the college that was there. The Book of Daniel, and Dr. Day said, "Oh, no, 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 no. One of you is doing Daniel, the other one's going to do Romans." And I thought, okay, this is good. Maybe I can get Daniel, but Brother Neiman kept Daniel to himself. And I got to teach Romans, which was a joy, a blessed privilege to do that and to meet those dear folk. I've never met Dr. Day. I was not out here in the Northwest when he went to school here. That's where Brother Neiman met him and knew him from. He was a man unknown to me, and the Lord opened those doors to meet him and to see the ministry there. The love of the Lord, the abilities that they have with what they have to get much accomplished is truly amazing. And as we finished off our time there, they had a wonderful chapel, to me a very moving chapel, as they gave us some gifts to go on our way. And I told them, I said, I've left part of my heart here. And I had. Dr. Day came this past August to the country to do some fundraising for the college. We were able to have him out at our church. We now support the college. But I told him, I asked him, I said, what is the possibilities of coming back? Can I come back and teach again? And he paused. That kind of concerned me a little bit. He paused, kind of looked down, but he was busy thinking. And he said, yes. He said, you're the first person that has ever asked that. And I paused, because I know he's had lots of men come through. And I thought, how odd that no one would ask to come back. We were treated like royal. I was embarrassed at how they treated us. We were like kings. No, not a general. Just talk to Dr. He'll give you the embellished stories. We have wonderful stories of our time there. But that is a priceless gift. I treasure the time that we were there. Look forward to the opportunity to go back. Lord willing, we'll be back in November to teach again the book of Romans. I wish I could have taken our church with us to have seen the work. Wish I could stick them in my pocket and hide them there and bring them out to see. Do the best I can to open up and show what has taken place in sending their pastor to India. And Lord willing, as that fund gets reestablished, that we can go again in November to again minister. Brother Neiman mentioned last night, he was alluding to some of the men there in that college, and the book of Romans is taught to their fourth year students. In January, we taught. In March, they graduated. So they're on the threshold of heading out into ministry or getting advanced degrees. And in one of our breaks between some of our sessions, I was sitting down in the classroom, and one of the older-looking students stayed. And we kind of struck up a conversation a little bit and finding out a little bit about him. Here was a man, he's a married student. He's in his mid-20s. He's from northeast India. This is southern India. He's been away from his family while he's been getting his college degree. He hasn't seen them for 2 years. And he's getting his degree so that he can go back to Manipur so that he can relieve another preacher so that that preacher can go and get an advanced degree. And I thought, am I willing to do those kinds of sacrifices? They taught me so much. I may have been the teacher, but I was taught much as we served there. And those memories, that blessing, will go with you the rest of your life. And fond memories that they are of seeing the Lord use us as He desires. I being in the way, the Lord led me. We had no expectations, no anything in giving so that books could go to a needy library on a foreign field. And yet the Lord has opened that door. And thankfully, we can move forward and go through those doors. And so I encourage us. Our divine opportunities are all over the place. They're around us. Are we praying? Understanding that God prepares and that those opportunities are priceless gifts from God. It's at times hard to speak as I think of what the Lord did, what the Lord's doing. The heartfelt that's inside, it's for me, it's hard to speak of it. I still can't articulate it as I would like to, what the Lord has done in taking us to India. At times I think if India were an open door, I would be hauling my family over there to minister there. But India is a closed door. I can't go as a missionary. And the Lord knows that. The Lord has other things to do. And so I encourage you, when those open doors open, step through them. Take those opportunities, how fearful they may be. They're not fearful because we have God there to take us. He's the one that's opened the door. I close with an experience that I had there that the Lord used to help me understand my reliance on Him. Those that know me know that I like to be organized when making trips. When we were on deputation, my family knew where we were stopping for lunch, where we were stopping for the evening. I had it all planned out, knew what roads we were taking. When we finished our teaching time, we still had a weekend before our plane was to take us back home. And a lady there in Galilee had arranged for us to meet her sisters. A nephew of hers and the nephew's brother-in-law came to take us. People I've never met. Taking us on a trip that I didn't have any hands in to know where we're going, where we're stopping. We get into what we would call an SUV. It's our taxi. And we start traveling out and away. Recognize the roads for a while. We've been on those roads a couple times going to different cities. Everything's fine. I know this road. We turn off and we head in a different direction. And my mind starts working, which can be a very bad thing at times. As I'm sitting in the back seat behind the driver on the right-hand side of the vehicle, driving on the wrong side of the street, my mind is thinking, where are we going? Who are these men? His brother-in-law is, you think of Indians, and I'm not being harsh or stereotypical, but they're slender. This man, about 6'2", 6'3". Pretty muscular built. The nephew's probably about my height, a few pounds on me, but well built. And I'm thinking, I don't know who these are. I don't know who this taxi driver is. My mind's thinking, you know, they could take us down one of these roads and just stop and say, out you go. And speaking about turning phones off. Yeah. That's running through my mind. And I'm getting worked up inside. We're having fun with some small talk going on. But my mind is whirling. Lord, what do I do? I've got Dr. Neiman. He's my dad's age. He's like a dad. I've got my wife here. I've got three guys that are younger than I am. I'm probably old enough to be all their fathers. What happens if this isn't Najah's nephew? What if something happened there and this, they're going to take us out and dump us on the side of the road, and I'm not even, where are we? We're in Kerala, India. This is in the afternoon on Friday, and I'm trying to calm my own heart down and say, okay, Lord, let's get my imagination under control. You know what's going on. And it's building. Lord, we haven't even met the first sister yet. Lord, I need some help here. It's about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon. And the nephew sitting behind us, his phone rings. And he answers the phone and he starts speaking in Malayalam. And then pretty soon he says my wife's name. And he hands the phone to give to Lynn. Najah wanted to talk to her. Najah is back here in Kent in the middle of the night. India is 12 and a half hours ahead of us. It's like 1 in the morning, and Najah's calling her nephew. And there was a peace and serenity that came. All that what if just disappeared. That is Najah's nephew. You are right where I want you to be, Brian. You're going to meet some folks that you've never met before. And as Brother Neiman and I have, as he's mentioned a lot, we weren't there to witness to them. We were there to open the door for an Indian national pastor to witness to them. We just created the open door for an India pastor because we were the Americans coming to India. But that phone call in the middle of the night for Najah was what God used to calm my heart and to remind me that God is in control. That God is the one that has been orchestrating this whole trip. And that he's taking care of this seemingly innocent thing. And a year ago when we had the FBF at Galilee, I told Najah, I said, the Lord used your phone call to calm this pastor's heart down. Because I was worked up. I had these guys dropping us off and robbing us and leaving us for naught in the middle of nowhere in India. I said, the Lord used your phone call. And she just kind of chuckled and was pleased that we were able to be there for her. But I said, Lord, use that. I said, a simple phone call. I said, you were just calling to check to see how things were going and you were fine. But I said, the Lord used that in my life. Because I needed some calmness. We can be fearful in those opportunities because we understand that they're God's opportunities and we're not the ones in control. God is. And what a joy to learn that lesson for me that, Lord, this is your work, not mine. You're the one in control, not me. You have the doors to open and close, not me. And a joy to be a part of that is just, as I say, words can't describe that. You experience it yourself. And you joy and rejoice in what the Lord's done with you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the time. Father, I pray that as pastors, as servants of thine, that we would be in prayer for those divine opportunities. And then, Father, as you prepare them, may we be willing to go through those open doors. Father, understanding and knowing that there are truly priceless gifts that you will bestow as we humbly follow you. Father, may we do so as you open those doors. What a joy to serve you, not knowing where you will take us, but understanding you are the one in control. Encourage our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.